The world is wired for miscommunication, especially when we cross cultures or use slang. Written word can especially be ripe for misunderstandings, as body language, vocal inflection, and facial expressions are absent. But where miscommunication can really go wrong is when we translate from one language to another, then back again. So here are a few examples. This one is from English to Russian and then back to English. It goes, out of sight, out of mind, ended up invisible idiot. In Chinese, the Kentucky Fried Chicken slogan, finger licking good, came out as, eat your fingers off. In Italy, Schweppes tonic water was wrongly translated into Schweppes toilet water. The last one, Taiwan. The translation for the Pepsi slogan, come alive with the Pepsi generation, came out as, Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead. It sounds like a good idea to have a universal language, right? Let's get everyone on the same page. No mistranslations, no confusion, or maybe not. Problems exist within the same languages. Miscommunications happen all the time between people speaking the same language because language is constantly changing depending on who you hang around, what part of the country you're from, or your age group. I'm already having problems communicating with 20-year-olds and I'm only in my 30s. No matter what language you speak, the underlying issue is that it's not a pure language. It's a mishmash of slangs, slurs, other languages, arbitrary rules, grammar that's confusing, words that no longer are used, words that you can't use, you name it. Just stick it all in a blender, hit puree, and that's what we're speaking today. Thankfully, God's plan is to give man a pure language, and that's what this message is about today, looking forward to Christ's return when man will finally be united by a pure language. But why not now? Why so many languages exist today? Why is there so much confusion within our languages? So let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 11 and read a story we're all familiar with. Genesis 11. And verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. The whole world had one universal language, a united mankind, united against their creator. God had to put a stop to it, and continuing in verses 6 to 7, we read, and the Eternal said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Imagine how quickly they could have advanced if God didn't confound their language. Only a few hundred years after the flood, and man was building towers reaching to the heavens. God said that anything they imagined, they could do. It makes you wonder, as God was watching them build the tower, was he getting flashbacks to the days before Noah? Was he saying, didn't I just wipe out the earth not that long ago, and we're already back to this? Confounding the language has slowed man down drastically, but he can only be held back for so long. Science fiction of 100 years ago has become science fact, and of course, with the good comes the bad, our uncanny ability to find unique ways to destroy ourselves, morally, socially, economically, and ultimately physically. It took American, Hungarian, and German scientists joining together to develop the atomic bomb, for instance. Would it have happened as quickly if none of them could communicate with each other? Man isn't ready to be given a pure language because that would lead to unity, and a unified mankind without God's spirit is a danger to himself as he's still influenced by Satan. Now, the other question is, once Satan is gone and man receives God's spirit, are there any man-made languages worthy of being a universal language? English is already considered a global language, and by some accounts, the most spoken language in the world. But does that make it good? Does that make it pure? The answer is no. I'll be picking on English today because it's my native tongue, but I know other languages have their own share of problems. For instance, I'm studying German, and one of the hardest things to grasp is that there are three genders for nouns: masculine, feminine, and neutral. And the choice is absolutely random. For example, woman, which is die Frau, is feminine. But girl, which you would think is also a feminine noun, is neutral. Das Mädchen. Why? There's no reason. That's just the way it is. And you have to know the correct gender for the noun because your entire sentence structure depends on it. Now back to English. The list of reasons why English is confusing is vast. However, the point isn't to go over every shortcoming of English. It's to demonstrate why God will be giving the people a pure language. To start, the same word can have multiple meanings depending on its context. For example, the word date in the Merriam-Webster dictionary has 15 different definitions. Then you have words that are spelled the same but are pronounced different, like bow and bow, bass and bass, or read and read. And if that's not confusing enough, there are words that sound the same but are spelled different, as in, the heir to the throne went flying through a hot air balloon. The runner was so hungry, he ate 8 sandwiches. The band was banned from taking part in competitions. Now take O-U-G-H. The following sentence uses that letter combination 8 times, and each time it's different. Though I coughed roughly and hiccuped throughout the lecture, I still thought I could plow through the rest of it. This is an incredible inconsistency. I don't even know how one would read this sentence if they didn't know the proper pronunciations of these words. They didn't have it memorized because there's no rhyme or reason behind it. The meaning of words also changes over time, or words stop being used entirely, being classified as archaic. When reading the King James, I had to look up peradventure because nobody uses that word anymore. It means perhaps. One of the reasons the King James Version of the Bible is a bit harder to understand is because many of the words used in it are either no longer used in the modern vernacular, like gainte, chambering, or bewray, or the meaning of the word has changed. Suffer, for instance, today means experiencing affliction, but in the King James, it means permit or allow. So you can see how language changes over time, and this causes confusion with later generations trying to understand what was written in the past. We know that God does not change. That's clearly stated in Malachi 3:6. You don't need to turn there. But we can assume that his pure language would never and has never changed. A word today would mean the same thing for all eternity, eliminating any possibility of confusion. Our languages are also corrupt. They're polluted with swears and slangs and slurs. English is littered with words and phrases that are solely meant to offend or hurt or bring down or discourage. Words that used to be innocuous have been forbidden due to political correctness. The new woke movement seeks to destroy the use of gender within language by either altering the use of gendered words or making up new words. This is a corruption of our language, and it only adds to further confusion. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt here is the Greek word sapras, which means rotten, putrefied, corrupted by one and no longer fit for use. The English language caters to the transgender and homosexuals by replacing husband and wife with partner, mother and father with parents, pregnant women with birthing people. Words have been made up like cisgender to refer to a normal person. They use plural pronouns like they and them to describe someone who refuses to be labeled male or female. It's complete nonsense, and it's being so baked into the language of this generation that it's beyond salvageable. And this is why, or one of the reasons why, there has to be a pure language. We need it. Turn to Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Eternal, to serve him with one consent. Let's look at the word pure for just a moment. It's the Hebrew word dorer, and it means to purify, select, polish, choose, purge, cleanse, prove. So this is a perfected language, purged and cleansed of all impurities, clean, polished, proven. A language that doesn't have the words with multiple ever-changing definitions or dead words. A language not littered with complete nonsense or crude and vile terms. A language understood by everyone. How wonderful will that be? For people to be able to say exactly what they mean, to express themselves fully without being misunderstood. That they may all call upon the name of the Eternal to serve him with one consent. Unity, brethren. Mankind united with one common purpose. To serve their Creator. The whole earth will once again be of one language and of one speech. But this time under Christ's authority, not Satan's. With God's Holy Spirit finally being made available to everyone and Satan's influence no longer in existence, unity for good, not evil, will allow man to thrive during the millennium. One government, one religion, one language, through the instrumentality of a pure language, a universal world language, God will at last unite all nations under his utopian rule.